Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 4,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 110 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
Now, once upon a time in professional wrestling, it used to matter what the fans thought.
For example, all you parents out there with kids, when your kids misbehave, you give the New Day a call. Yep. The New Day comes over to your house, and we will fight your children!
Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of wrestling sucks. But when it's good, it's fucking great. Wrestling is melodrama. Wrestling is mythology. Wrestling is action. Wrestling is comic books. The only thing wrestling isn't.
Hello and welcome to episode 187 of your favorite podcast Around the Ring. I'm your host, your Floyd and Savior, Floyd Johnson. With me today, as always, is my consistent compadre, my co-host, Ryan the Great Aaron. How you doing today, Ryan?
I am doing phenomenal. It's been a great weekend so far, and it's only going to get better.
Busted out a little Spanish because my fiance's been trying to learn Spanish this week, and she's been arguing with me about Spanish words, and I'm just like, who watches more Lucha Libre wrestling? You know what I mean? No, but yeah, you've got some. You're a big Oklahoma State Cowboys fan, so you've gotten to listen. You get gotten to watch them play baseball 2 days in a row, and then wrestling tomorrow.
Yeah, like yesterday, I took a half day at work, checked the kid out at school. We went up to Stillwater, went to the baseball game. It's free admission weekend for a promotion. So I sat out in the 40-degree weather yesterday and watched baseball. Today I sit out there in the wind with my cousin that I don't get to see very often, watched OSU baseball. They got wins on both days. And tomorrow, to cap off the weekend, I'm getting up at 9 o'clock in the morning, driving to Stillwater again to wait in line, because tomorrow, number 2 versus number 3 in the nation, Oklahoma State versus Iowa wrestling, the greatest rivalry in the history of the sport, 57 combined national titles, 5 top 10 single matchups tomorrow. It's incredible. I can't wait for this match. This is like I've been waiting all season for this. And tomorrow is going to be incredible. Gallagher Iba will be rocking.
I am glad you're excited for that. I am happy for you. It's one of those things. I have tried to watch amateur wrestling. Except for the Olympics, it generally bores me. So I'm glad you're going to get to go. Have a big rivalry match, 2 versus 3. I saw that, and I was like, man, that is going to be a big one. These are both two historically great college wrestling schools. So it should be fun. It should be fun for you, and I'm happy that you get to go. I'll be at work.
It's one of those matchups that even if you don't like the sport, I imagine if you're there in the arena, you're going to have a damn good time. You may not know what's going on exactly in the mat, but with the crowd and the reactions and the way that everything is going on elsewhere, I imagine anybody could have a good time in that type of environment.
I imagine that too. I think that is really cool. I'm very excited, like I said, that you get to go. You know, like I said, I generally like some things that other people don't like and might find boring. So I ain't gonna ever hate on you for watching some damn or watching some good old amateur wrestling.
And on Twitter yesterday, to top it off, I had like a couple back and forth with Gerald Briscoe. He's gonna be at the duel, and he told me and my boy to come find him, and he talked to us for a little bit.
That is awesome. That's awesome. We got to meet Gerald. And I got to meet the Stooges last year at StarCast 1, because StarCast and All In were two separate things. Right. But we were at StarCast, and we got to meet the Briscoes on Sunday. And it was funny, because we weren't going to stay that long Sunday. And I think we ended up getting, like, the most people on Sunday, because, like, nobody was there.
Yeah, we flew through lines on Sunday because there was like nobody there, and we just, oh, let's get this person, let's get this person, let's get this person. It was just so easy.
Yeah. Well, just to let you know, this episode of Around the Ring is brought to you by the Power Slam TV. Get your first month free of over 4,000 hours of independent wrestling from across the globe. We use the promo code Around the Ring to get your first month free. So, I have not gotten to use Power Slam TV as much as I would like. I am very much, I heard this somewhere, and I definitely think you should use Power Slam TV. It'll get you caught up. But I am very much, I watch kind of wrestling like almost like live sports. I don't have time for a lot of old wrestling because I have new wrestling to catch up on with. There's so much wrestling available now that it's like this week, WWE UK was playing today, and I know who won, but I didn't really watch the matches. I was so busy at work today. Mm. Do you like with MLW, Impact, all those, you find it hard to squeeze it, you know, and all your stuff with your kid, you find it hard to squeeze in all your wrestling all week, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what, like, I make sure I watch Raw, SmackDown, for sure, and then there's pay-per-views, of course. And then I try to stay current with NXT at least the best I can. But anything outside of that, there's a good chance if it's on my DVR, it gets binged watched. Like the other day, I watched three episodes of Ring of Honor, two of Women of Wrestling, and then two Impacts. Like I just knocked it out over like a day or two because I didn't have anything else on the DVR because I was caught up. The kid wasn't here or something like that was going on. So I just watched it when I could, but there's no way I could watch it all when it airs. There's just no way.
Well, thank you, Ryan. There goes a beautiful segue into our first topic, which on this week's Raw and SmackDown, pretty much unannounced and unexpected, we had four NXT debuts. And they debuted on both shows. First, we had Ricochet, Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa actually debuted as in tag team action on both shows. Overall, what did you think of the debuts?
Okay, I'm going to surprise some people here. The only debut, not the fact that these four people got called up. That's not what I'm speaking to here. I'm talking about the debut and the way it was done. The only one that I thought was halfway done right was Ricochet. It's the only one I enjoyed. And I am not a Ricochet fan by any means. I did not like you bringing up Ciampa and Gargano and putting them in a tag match against the Revival and them beating the tag team champions. If you want to put them in a tag team match, and obviously you want them to win because you don't want them to come up and then lose right away, put them against another tag team. There's so many tag teams in WWE that they're not using. Let them squash a tag team. Let them dominate a tag team that's there that's not getting used. Let them go against the B team.
Exactly. The B
team or somebody like that. Not your tag team champions. Because while it was your North American champion and your NXT heavyweight or world champion, it's your tag team champions. So you're making it look like these guys that are just now getting called up to the so-called big leagues are that much better than two guys that are the best tag team in the world. I don't like it. I thought it was done wrong. I don't know why it was done that way, but I didn't like it. Ricochet, I've heard rumors it was originally going to be done a different way. The way they did it was perfect. He came out to a huge pop. He saved Finn Balor from attack, turned into a tag match, and it ended up being a decent tag match. Aleister Black, I mean, yeah, it worked with the Elias gimmick and him interrupting people. That part works because the way his music is and the way he looks, but I don't know. There's just something about the match I didn't enjoy. Obviously the chemistry's not there because they haven't really worked together before, but the only thing that did work was the fact that his music is the type of music that when it interrupted Elias, Elias is easily going to get upset. That's the only thing that worked with it.
All right. Ryan, Hey, you came out of House of Fire there. You said you was excited for the show, didn't you?
I did. I've had a great, like I said, I've had a great weekend. It's going to take a lot to mess with me today.
All right. Well, let me just say, for the most part, this is one of those times. I agree. I don't really have a lot of color to add. The Ricochet, he actually looked like a star, but I figured Ricochet was going to look like a star no matter what. He has the combination of looks and unique moves that no one has ever seen before that is going to bring eyes. And then they brought him out with one of their most popular wrestlers, Finn Balor. Right. You were right. This was the perfect combination, perfect way to debut Ricochet. Gargano and Ciampa, I have so many fond memories of their matches with the Revival. I never wanted to see them in a little 10-minute TV match. I believe you should have brought them in, and they should have fought like everybody except the Revival, and you give me 20, 25 solid minutes at WrestleMania, and you let Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and the Revival put tag team wrestling back on the map, because that's all it would need. You give it 25 minutes at Mania, it would put tag team wrestling back on the map. Their matches were, I think the worst that match I ever saw with them was like a 4.5-star match.
Agree.
So I did not want to see them in a 10-minute Monday Night Raw match. They could have literally beat up any other tag team. They could have beat up Heavy Machinery, and I would have been fine with it. Aleister Black, I see it as this way. A lot of people see it this way. I think he could be your new Undertaker if you wanted him to be, because he has the entrance and the mystique. If you're going to put him in a match, he should have came out with Elias. The bell should have rang. Elias should have went for a clothesline. He should have ducked. Black Mass, match over. That would have been the perfect entrance for Elias. One move, 3-second match. That's what you're trying to build there with Elias. I mean, that's what you're trying to build there with Aleister Black, and that's what you should do. So, but yes, I agree with everything you said on what was good about him and what was bad about him. So they then all had other matches the next day on.
I have one more thing on Raw.
What?
With them. And another thing that I didn't like, you debuted them in a shit-ass town of Louisville, Kentucky, or wherever they were.
Lafayette, Louisiana.
Basically the same thing. It was a shitty town.
No, Louisville's, you know, that's Jim Cornette area, and they're generally pretty, that's a good wrestling town. Lafayette, I found out Monday, is a shit wrestling town.
Yeah, Louisville is a better wrestling town. I got my cities backwards, but that crowd, I don't understand how any of the performers were able to go out there and give their best, because they would have been better off just wrestling in a parking lot with nobody there.
Yeah, I am of the opinion, when I watch NXT UK, their crowds make every match better. They make the most boring match better just because their crowds are so lively. This crowd killed the show. Killed the show. Lafayette just didn't feel like watching wrestling, or they only wanted to see John Cena, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Rock. I mean, maybe they thought they were going to get them. I mean, I can't blame them, you know, for the reaction. I can't. It's just, yeah, they should have did 2 nights in New Orleans. I feel like they should have did a Raw and a SmackDown in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame. I mean, the crowd is what it is. The performers, they went out there and they did their best to react and to perform in that environment. But, I mean, for crying out loud, when you go to a show like that, you're part of the show. Your excitement gets the performers going that much more. So when you're sitting there, sitting on your thumbs and rotating, basically, because they didn't do anything, it hurts the product and it hurts the show. I mean, you don't have to be NXT UK level for every match, but when Aleister Black came out, there was no reaction at all. It's like nobody there knew who he was or something. It was weird.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, there was nothing. I don't want to even drive through Lafayette, Louisiana, because I feel like I might pass out, because, you know, only dead people live there. So, Yeah, when they only get house shows for the next 10 years, you'll be like, and they might wonder, and Vince will be like, you know why. You know yeah. why. You know why you're only getting house shows forever. Because you know what? You didn't appreciate when we gave you a Raw. So, yeah. So on SmackDown, they all had other matches. I'm gonna get in and let you go first if you remember the matches. I'm gonna let you kind of go first because there's one thing that I just thought was crazy.
If my memory is right, again, the only thing to me that was really good was Ricochet, and I don't like saying this because I'm not a Ricochet fan, but his match on SmackDown, another solid match with another good performer in Almas or Andrade, whatever his name is now.
No, Andrade wrestled Alistair.
Okay, so I'm backwards again. I was looking at a website here and I read one name and skipped to the next line. So that's my mistake. But yeah, the match with Andrade, Aleister Black was a good match, because they have that chemistry. They have that previous history with the storytelling in NXT, so it was good.
Yeah. Ricochet fought Eric Young, which I barely right. remember that match.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, yeah.
I remember 6:30, but I honestly don't remember that match. I heard it was a good match. I remember watching it, but it just didn't stick to my head. The thing I was going to go off all about. Woo! Do not do backstage segments with the Bar in Ciampa and Gargano ever again. Oh my God. They look like children compared to Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah, that was... It looked like... Yeah.
They look... Seriously, they look like kids. I mean, seriously, Cesaro's the small one of that group. And he looks like he has a good 50 pounds on Ciampa and Gargano and a good 7 inches.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look close.
Yeah. It looked like me standing next to The Undertaker.
Yes. I'm like, as far as a visual, nothing could make Gargano and Ciampa look worse. Because they are so small. Like, everybody in NXT, they say they got a bunch of 5'10 white guys or whatever. And it was just, it was never more obvious than that. I actually love Gargano and Ciampa as a tag team. And I think they're one of the best in the world. I just think the backstage visual should have never happened. Or they may have did a screenshot or separate yelling. It's just those two are so much bigger than Ciampa and Gargano. Ricochet looks like a wrestler compared to anybody else on the roster. I thought that was great. I love that they brought in new blood. I don't think SmackDown needed it. Which is, SmackDown's good. I think SmackDown's a good show. I think SmackDown puts on good shows every week. I don't think those four people needed to be on SmackDown. I understand why they did it. Again, they were in New Orleans. They got better pops in New Orleans. People who knew who they were in New Orleans. But it's just like going forward, SmackDown does a great show. Raw is the one that really needs help right now.
Yeah, no, I agree completely there. SmackDown did not need it. It's not a bad thing, but it didn't really do anything to enhance the show. It was going to be a good show. SmackDowns have been really good here lately, and it kept it even. And it seemed like the focus, I don't know why all of a sudden we're just focusing on and bringing these guys up now right before Mania. I was expecting these guys to be there on the Monday or Tuesday after Mania.
Ratings are down. They're trying to pop a rating. They're trying to build excitement for next week. Raw actually was one of the highest rated shows they've had in a while. A lot of people just think it's the result of it was coming out of a pay-per-view, the excitement from the pay-per-view, the Becky Lynch beatdown of the two women. They thought they were going to see some revenge, some good old payback. They didn't get that. SmackDown, of course, I thought it was going to get a high number because of Kofi Kingston, which is the subject of our next topic. Bam, segue God right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, so Kofi Kingston, they did a six-man tag match where they said they were going to announce Daniel Bryan's challenger after the match. Daniel Bryan comes out, I don't know if it was directly before the match, sometimes before the match, and says, you know who my next challenger is not going to be? It's not going to be any of you because I beat you all Sunday. In a classic heel promo. He does classic heel promos, but he makes them look all new and fancy. So, so it's like, he's pretty much like Daniel Bryan, Daniel Bryan, and Juice Robinson's old character. What was C.J. Parker? Had a baby. Because he's basically C.J. Parker now.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah, so he comes out, and he pretty much spits the same game Juice Robinson used to spit, but he does it so much more better and so much douchier, which is great, and crowd hate him about it. So they didn't do the six-man match. And in a shocking result, no one saw this coming. No, you didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. No one saw it coming. The man, the myth, the legend, 11-year veteran, Ryan's favorite wrestler, Kofi Kingston, gets his second pin on Daniel Bryan in a little over 3 weeks after the match. Kofi Kingston is announced as a main eventer, your number one contender going into Fastlane. Ryan, if I told you when you started watching wrestling again, the day the Raw where the Shield broke up and you had the New Day come out, and I think they were still doing Serial. They were still skipping to the ring and doing Serial back then. And I told you that guy, Kofi Kingston, who started wrestling in like 2008, was going to main event two pay-per-views in what would be like, 4 years later, 2019. What would you have said to me, sir?
Why am I watching this again? That's probably what I would have said at that moment.
Because, no one saw this coming. Kofi Kingston is one of those people, I will say, when he first debuted, I was all about Kofi Kingston. Never thought he was going to be a world champion. I even called him an updated Coco Beware back then. And
that's harsh.
I mean, come on. He came out in the bright Jamaican colors. He did moves. He had some nice high flying moves, but he wasn't going to ever be above a mid-carder. Does not describing Coco Beware. And then he won the Intercontinental title. He won the tag team titles with several people. Then he got into New Day, and seriously, New Day became the hottest act in wrestling. He far surpassed what I ever thought he was going to be. Because I always knew he was talented, I knew he was athletic, but I thought for his character there was a ceiling. He has the dreads. You know what I mean? He was playing a Jamaican character. I clearly thought there was a ceiling on where he would be, right? Then he had the infamous feud with Randy Orton where they looked like they were about to push him, and Randy Orton didn't like him. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Yeah, that whole gimmick where he messed up during the match, and it felt like he got buried, buried, buried. And then, of course, he found life in the New Day. And I love Kofi. Don't get me wrong. He is one of my favorite people to watch on Up, Up, Down, Down. He is like to my friends that I talk to. He's a shit talker extraordinaire. I love Kofi. He's one of those people. Up, Up, Down, Down changed my life as far as wrestling. Because I saw the Usos, and I've always been a fan of the Usos. But they were still doing the paint thing and getting booed and everybody hating them. And I was like, and I think I've said it on the show when you were listening. Back when you were listening and not on it, I was like, why don't they just let Jimmy and JB themselves?
Yeah, you've said that a lot.
And I was like, why don't they just let them be themselves? They're cocky, they're charismatic. I was like, their natural personalities is something that can get over. And I just kept saying that, and I kept saying it. And then they came out in all black, and they started cutting promos like they were twins, and... you saw that natural charisma come out, and I'm just like, I told you. It was like my victory lap. I told you so. I told you their natural personalities could get over. And I felt the same way about Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston has this confidence, this swagger about him, especially on Up, Up, Down, Down, that is not goofy like it's not goofy like it's with the New Day, which I love the New Day. Don't get me wrong. I am not putting down the New Day. It's not goofy. His confidence is, he has a confidence about him. Like, I know I'm talented. I know I'm great. You can't beat me. To me, that's a person that you can sell. Just let Kofi be Kofi. Well, in the weirdest take of them all, Kofi's still the guy in the New Day, and he is so flipping over. We were in Houston, and I know that we had some audio issues last week. I definitely apologize for that. You couldn't really hear JG. But the pop Kofi Kingston got in that building, I never thought I was going to hear that, ever.
Yeah, it was crazy. And like, it's just to add to this a little bit, when we were walking up to the arena, Floyd asked me what I thought was going to happen. I was wearing my Samoa Joe shirt. I said, I want Joe to win. But y'all know I don't like Daniel Bryan. I said, as long as anybody but Daniel Bryan don't win. Like, Joe, Randy, those were the two I wanted to win the most, and then it just kind of fell into place. It's not that I'm not a Kofi fan. I'm kind of like what Floyd was saying earlier. He should be a tag team champion, at best an intercontinental, a U.S. champion. I don't view him as a world champion, and I don't know. It's definitely not the way he works, because he can work in the ring. I think it's just a size thing. Like, I can't look at him and buy that he could beat the best of the best, the biggest of the biggest. I can't do it. But I had told Floyd that the two worst possibilities coming out of that were Daniel Bryan being the worst and Kofi right above that. And when Samoa Joe got eliminated, I just kind of sit there. And I was watching the match, but I wasn't really reacting. I was just kind of watching. But by the end of that match, I was one of the loudest people in our section chanting Kofi. The guy can go. And if he somehow, which I don't think he will, pulls it off at Fastlane, I'm going to be honest. It's going to be crazy. I don't know how they'll do it or anything like that, if it was to happen. But Kofi is at a point right now, he may be the most over person on the main roster right now.
I completely agree with that. Kofi, and with the New Day behind him, I mean, it's like he's getting that New Day love, even though, you know, it's just kind of like it's just Kofi. But he's so on fire right now, and he's so popular. And when he got that pin, New Orleans popped really loud for him. And, of course, you got people online that, you know, want him to become the champion. And don't get me wrong, I don't think he's going to become the champion. And it's not that I don't think he should or whatever. But if you ask wrestling fans, they kind of think the title should always change. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got people that want, oh yeah, no, let's give it to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan gets it. Now let's give it to this guy. Most fans want to, I say most, the vocal fan base either wants it on this guy and this guy only, or when somebody else gets it, they want it to hot potato.
Yeah. It's just the way it is. So that being said, it's like I want Daniel Bryan to win. I want Daniel Bryan to win just because that's what a good heel does. He beats the guy you really, really want to beat him. And I think Kofi Kingston getting two main event pay-per-view paychecks, whatever that is. Now, if they want to put out a Kofi Mania shirt, that's great. I would say, to me, he loses the match. Right, he comes back. I mean, I see this a lot of different ways. He comes back. He's in the Andre. He wins the Andre. You know. People been loving Kofi. You give him a big pop and win the Andre. Or, or you have R-Truth lose to like Rusev or Shinsuke Nakamura, and then maybe on the pre-show you give Kofi the U.S. title.
Or, on that same note, you could put Kofi and do your one big-ass ladder match and make it for the U.S. title.
Yeah, and then Kofi
get
wins.
Get more guys on the card, yeah.
Yeah, and Kofi wins. I'm like, you can do a big WrestleMania spot to kind of satisfy everybody, put the U.S. belt on them. I mean, I think Kofi's great. He's been there 11 years. I just don't think he's WWE champion. I mean, but, again, we also lived in a world where Jinder Mahal was WWE champion. And I damn sure believe he deserves the title more than Jinder Mahal did. Because I think Jinder Mahal was probably the worst WWE champion ever.
But and my God, have you looked at Jinder Mahal?
Yeah.
That's like a walking hard-on for Vince McMahon.
Yeah, and you remember, I was all about the Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, you were.
I was all about Jinder Mahal when he was running, but it was just like, they stopped so short with Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
They made him a caricature. They made him 80s Middle East bad guy instead of really trying to evolve the character. And it was just like they wanted him to be a trope. And don't get me wrong. I mean, like I said, I think I know a lot of people just hate the way Jinder Mahal works, which is, you know, neither here nor there. I just thought he was booked wrong. But with Kofi, I think they have a chance. If they're not going to pull the trigger, they need to give fans something. If you're not going to give them the world title, you need to give Kofi his big moment. I think the biggest big moment that's written there is the Andre, because it's a big moment and it really doesn't mean anything. You don't have to go anywhere after the Andre. You know?
Right.
You get the big moment and you don't have to do anything else if you don't want to. I just don't want them to be forced into trying to book Kofi to a place he doesn't belong on a level that he doesn't need to be, unless you're going to do something. Like, if you do that with Kofi and you give him the title, the next champion has to be Samoa Joe.
Yeah, it's got to be, because he's the biggest heel in the company right now.
It has to be somebody that everybody kind of hates. You know, so that being, yeah, that's what you, to me, that's what you gotta do. You gotta go with Samoa Joe. It's like you have to use it to get it on to someone that's even more heelish, or you just give it right back to Daniel Bryan. Like, you give it, Kofi wins, Kofi gets the big win at the next show, Daniel Bryan tricks him into defending the title again, and he wins by nefarious means. But yeah. I just think somehow, I don't want it to hot potato like that. So I just think Kofi comes out and gives him a great match. Daniel Bryan cheats and gets the win. And that's how I think it should go. Well, that is it from Raw and SmackDown. We've talked about people being misused and people not getting some time. Because of that, we had three things happen this week. It was a bloody, bloody Friday in the WWE. Three performers, two previously asked for the release, Hideo Itami and Ty Dillinger, they asked for, and they were granted their release as of Friday. Friday, as you may know, was the 22nd. Go 3 months from now, 90 days. You run into what? May 22nd? May 24th?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be right before Double or Nothing. So, the reason I bring this up is the landing spots for each of these three. I have my thought process, and Ryan, you're just going to kind of go off the head. Hideo Itami, where do you think he's going to land?
Dragon Gate, Noah, New Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think he's going to Noah. I think that's the goal, is to go back to Noah. To get a pop, he might do the best of the Super Juniors. I mean, that'd be a strong pop to do best of the Super Juniors. That'll build up some excitement towards Noah, and it would help New Japan. So I think that would be mutually beneficial. So I think that would be smart if he would go do the best of the Super Juniors. If New Japan wants him. But right. I think his ultimate spot is Noah. He is a legend in Noah. I think he'll be right in Mac in the championship picture in Noah. He's a draw. He's going to help them build their business again.
The first thing he needs to do, though, is take this 90 days and hit a gym.
I think that goes without saying, just because he never really had a problem staying in shape before WWE. It was just he probably got, you know, he was injured, and then he was given a shitty spot, so he probably didn't care anymore.
But that could be it, because there's a lot of people out there that you've probably listened to this, and you probably have seen his work and know his work since before he got to WWE. I have not.
Our girl Lindsay's a big fan.
Yeah, and to me, he's just as valuable as a 10-pound sack of potatoes in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, our girl Lindsay will fight you over Hideo Itami, a.k.a. Kenta. She will fight you. She talks about how good and talented he was. I actually watched some of the old matches. Didn't do much for me. I'm not saying they weren't great. I mean, 5-star, 10-star classics or whatever. But 10 years later, it didn't do a lot for me. It was a lot of striking. And if some people might think I'm really stupid for saying this, I don't like a lot of strike-based wrestling. And that's what Kenta does. He just kicks and punches a lot. And it's just like, it's not really my thing. But he's a really good, you know, he's a really good wrestler. I can see when you're a good performer, even though the way you, if your performance is not my cup of tea. The next person on our list, Ty Dillinger. So, Ty Dillinger was named Gavin Spears when he was in WWE Developmental in FCW. Him and Cody Rhodes were the, or what was OVW? Him and Cody Rhodes were the OVW Tag Team Champions. That was like Cody Rhodes' first gimmick in OVW, and him and Gavin Spears were that. So apparently, they have been remained friends over the years. He was interviewed by Sean Ross Scott. I think that's who did the Cody Rhodes interview. Let me see. It might have been Ryan Satin. Hold on a second. I'm making sure. I believe it was...
Ryan Satin.
Satin with the interview. And Cody basically said any company, including AEW, would be lucky to have him. So, a lot of people took that as a ringing endorsement that AEW would sign him. I'm going to let you start. Do you think he winds up in A&W? And if he does, do you think that's a good signing?
Let's see. Ty Dillinger. I was a fan of the NXT Ty Dillinger character. He's not bad in the ring. He's not really good in the ring. He's an average wrestler for the most part. From what we've seen, he's somebody that can go out there and put on a solid match with just about anybody, but nothing is going to blow you away. So, Ty Dillinger, the character, would work with just about any company. Ty Dillinger, the wrestler, that is something I think that's a little bit not so much. So, Ty Dillinger, the wrestler, I want to see him in one of two places, Ring of Honor or Impact. One of those two would be best for him. If he's going to be an on-screen performer still, and if he still wants to do that and all that, whatever he wants to do. Because I think the character in his ring style would work better in those two companies. More so Impact than Ring of Honor. I don't, as good as friends as he is with Cody, I don't know that I want to see him wrestle in AEW. Not yet, anyway.
Okay. Yeah. As a person that hosts an AEW podcast called All Things Elite on the Social Suplex, if anybody's interested in going there, it's called All Things Elite on the Social Suplex. I don't want him in AEW. the only way I would want him is if he would come back and be like a part-time kind of coach, producer, whatever they want to call that role, and a wrestler that loses. I think if you give him any success in your company directly after being basically not on TV and a jobber in the WWE, it brings the quality of your product down. It makes your company look like the minor leagues. It is like when the many times when Impact would take a mid-carder, like Christian Cage, and then push him to the world title. Damian Sandow made him the grand champion. It is just like Bubba Ray Dudley. Even though I did love his heel character in TNA, they made him the champion. It lowered the value of Impact. It just did. Your best person is barely a middling wrestler in the WWE. And people's like, you shouldn't make that direct correlation. I don't. But the average fan that's just flicking through the channel does. The last time I saw Damian Sandow, he was Miz's sidekick.
Yeah.
Oh, he's your champion? Huh. So that means you're like the minor leagues, right? Yeah. So, no. If he goes with AEW and he's not in a tag team or something like that, it lowers your product. You would basically bring him in to lose a lot. Or maybe it's Cody's second. You know, Cody needs, you know, they're kind of pushing Adam Page as the ace of AEW. So he would, when earlier in the Bullet Club, he was always Cody's kind of boy. He was always, when Cody needed a tag team partner, it was Hangman. So right now they don't really have anybody to fill that role for Cody. So if they wanted to bring him in to that kind of role, like Cody's being an executive vice asshole, and he's kind of picking on Ty Dillinger as his second, and that builds up like a big match where Ty Dillinger gets tired of Cody picking on him. Yeah, if you have a specific role for Ty Dillinger that's nowhere near the top of your card, then I'm okay with it. But don't have Ty Dillinger main eventing or whatever his name's going to be. Don't have him main eventing AEW anytime soon. You gotta give people time to forget that he's a jobber. Which he really wasn't a jobber. I'm using the term jobber. He wasn't. He was non-existent.
Right.
He was below a jobber. He wasn't ever on TV.
Well, that's fair.
It's like, he wasn't a jobber. He was never there. It's like, if you're on the main roster and you're not on TV, you pretty much don't exist. Last but not least, the person that won the Cruiserweight Classic. He has been very disgruntled over the last 6 months. He has not been afraid to put his disgruntledness online. They actually looked like they were about to start a gimmick with him on 205, and it just went away. And then, you know, he's lost a bunch. And then it finally got out. And he got released. TJ Perkins. Theodore Perkins. That's who we wish the best on our future endeavors. Where do you think old TJP can show up?
Okay. Think about everything you just said about Ty Dillinger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm throwing it out the window. For this one. TJP to AEW. The reason I say that is, one, the casual fan does not know who he is because he wasn't a main roster guy. He was a 205 Live and 205 Live only guy. The diehards, they know who he is. They've seen him work in the Cruiserweight Classic. They've seen his match quality and they know what he can do. They've seen him as the character in Impact. Was it Suicide? Was that the character's name? In the whole red getup?
Yeah, Suicide, yeah. And then Manic, yeah.
Yeah, they've seen him work. TJP is a guy that he can go out and he can work with anybody. He has absolutely zero charisma, in my opinion, or personality. But as far as work rate, of these three, in my opinion, he's the best easily.
Yeah.
And he is somebody that could work in AEW in that setting, either as a guy that puts people over or be that 50-50 booking guy where he might lose three in a row and then he might win one or two depending on who he's with. Because AEW, while they are wanting to get the people that aren't your well-known, your top stars, they want a few, but they're signing people like Jungle Boy. And people like that. They want to get people like that that are like those diamonds in the rough, I guess, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
TJP could be one of those type guys. He could be the guy that go out there and put in a match with anybody, but he could also be a guy that your diehard fans could grow to love based on just his ring work. And your casuals that get start to watch this new product, oh, this guy can really work in the ring. I want to see more of him. He could be somebody that you could build and put into that junior, cruiserweight, middleweight, whatever you want to call that division. He's somebody that could be a player or a key role in that division.
Okay. Let me tell you why I don't want him on AEW.
Okay.
There's another character in AEW that is very similar to him. And as far as the cocky, arrogant type of heel, and his name's Sammy Guerrero. And I think if you bring TJP in, it might hinder Sammy Guerrero's growth if you're trying to build him as your top junior or one of your top juniors. So, my thing is, I think TJP should go. A great place for him is ROH. If you're going to push Jeff Cobb up to your world champion, which everyone thinks you should, and Marty Scurll's going to go away, I think TJP is perfect for your television division in ROH. Also, as you're rebuilding your junior division in New Japan, he would also fit there. I think him being in the Best of the Super Juniors would be amazing because he's one of those people that can work. And so I would definitely put him there. So I think the ROH New Japan route, if they want him, would be the best route for TJP.
That wouldn't be bad. That's all really good points, and that would not be excuse me, that would not be a bad landing spot for him. Because again, there he can really show his work too.
Yeah, because if you put him in AEW and he's really super talented, there's no way he's going to settle for not being the junior champion or not being featured in the junior division. And what you're going to try to do in their junior division is feature people you haven't seen before. You're going to try to probably feature the OWE kid, Sammy Guevara, maybe even MJF in that area, at least for a while, as you build up that division. So, yeah, I'm all about TJP. I think he's really super talented. I think they pushed him completely wrong. I think they should have just pushed him as a really, really amazing wrestler. I don't say that with a lot of people because I do believe we need characters. I just think he should have just been who he was in the Cruiserweight Classic, a cocky asshole that's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And that, to me, that would have been simple. They try too hard to make him a character, and if you've seen him in other shows, he's not a character. He's a wrestler. He's a really, really, really good wrestler. So just let him be that. So that's it for those three. Then we got some other big news. News that heartbreaking, gut-wrenching news. I don't know all the backstage information on this, but it looks like Arn Anderson was let go from the WWE. They brought in a lot of producers. I mean, like, a lot of old TNA producers. Abyss started, Jeff Jarrett started, Sanjay Dutt all started with the WWE. Jeremy Barash was already there. Shane Helms.
Daivari.
So they might have just been bringing in new blood to help revamp the show, produce a second show. That might have been what they're trying to do. But with bringing all the producers in, generally, when you bring in a lot of talent, older talent generally goes away. And Arn Anderson looks like he was a victim of this. What do you think, sir?
I think a lot of what you said is a big. Granted, other than he's been released, that's the only thing the wrestling sites have said. So I'm just thinking here, they're bringing up the NXT guys. They've been talking about ratings being bad and things like that, and they're changing of the guard type thing. The only way to fully do that is you have to have some changeover in the back too. So Arn, granted, while he is one of the longest tenured people back there, being he's been there since 18 years, since the day WCW was bought, he's been a part of WWE in some form or fashion, and he knows the business better than just about anybody. I think it's just one of those changing of the guards. They're going in a different direction to try to change it up. They want to try to get some more casual viewers and some people that were diehard wrestling fans that have left to all the other promotions, try to bring some of them back by changing it up. So that's the only thing I can tell myself to get to where it makes sense, because it's not a wrestling reason. It's not a knowledge thing. It can't be anything like that. It just has to be one of those, hey, look, you've been here for this long. We love what you do. We respect you. There's nothing left for you to do. We've got to change some things up, so we're going to go in a different direction.
All right.
That's what it sounds like to me.
I'm going to go the more crazy area.
Okay.
I'm going to wildly speculate. There is no rumors or any window or anything. I have not read this anywhere online. This is what I feel. Vince was pissed about the StarCast thing, right?
Probably.
Can't touch Taker, right?
Right.
Can't touch Flair, right? They book on their own. Flair's a legend, Undertaker's a legend. There's one person that signed up for StarCast that you can touch. Who would that be? Arn Anderson.
Maybe. There's a couple other people, too.
Who? That work for
Jim Ross, Jerry the King Lawler.
Jim Ross is about to work for... He's just waiting for his contract to go so he can work for AEW. He's all but said that on his show.
Yeah, that's true, but he is still under contract.
That's what I'm saying. But if they fired him, if they fired Jim Ross, all they would be doing is starting him with AEW quicker. So there's nothing detrimental that they can do to Jim Ross.
Well, but it's at the same time, though, he is somebody there that they can say, hey, look, we're paying you and you're going to go to this event that's semi being done by this other company. Why are we paying you? Let's stop paying you and get you out of here.
Yes,
the same thing with Jerry Lawler.
But what I'm saying about Jim Ross is his contract is up before StarCast happens.
Is it?
Yeah, his contract's end up at the end of March.
Okay.
So, yeah, Jerry the King Lawler, he's under
just
the...
Just re-signed.
Yeah, he's under the Legends deal with the WWE. It's in his contract that he can do whatever he wants when he's not working for the WWE. Right? So they could schedule something that we can say, hey, we need you. And I think Jerry Lawler would cancel and it wouldn't be that big a deal. Jerry Lawler is very loyal to the WWE. So again, Jerry Lawler, so Jerry Lawler. All you would do if you release Jerry Lawler is pretty much be sure he's going to show up in AEW in some capacity. You won't get Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler on commentary, but he would show up in some capacity, right? You can't hurt Jerry Lawler. He's a big enough legend you can't hurt. There's one person that you can kind of hurt, and that was Arn Anderson. You can fire Arn Anderson. He's probably not going to get hired by AEW. Honestly, you know, they said they weren't going to have producers. What the hell else would he be other than a producer? I mean, he could go train somewhere, and you know he's gonna do the con loop, and you know everyone's going to get his autograph and all this stuff. He's fucking Arn Anderson. I'm not saying he's not a legend. Don't get me wrong, but he probably doesn't want for money. He worked for the WWE for 20 years. But right. I'm just saying, it looks like he could have been a casualty of war, because, yeah, that's somebody we could actually affect. Because everyone seemed to love Arn Anderson. Just one of the quotes I got from Big E, Arn made me laugh virtually every time I saw him. He went out of his way to teach so many of us when we first came up to the main roster. I'll miss the Eski greetings and his dogging insistence that we always have bone-in chicken on the Euro tours. And pretty much that's what you heard from all the wrestlers, that he fought for the young guys, he fought for them to do it a different way, he fought for them to be able, he basically could take your character, whatever it is, and help you build a moveset that made sense with that character. It sounded like Arn Anderson was the invaluable piece, but when you're dealing with people that might not be making the most irrational decisions, he can kind of get released. He was a casualty of war. That's just, again, that's my wild speculation. There's nothing behind it. There's no one else on the line saying it. I didn't take it from Meltzer. It's just my thought process.
And you know what, like you said, it is out there and it's crazy, but I'm going to use that to transition into this. Another reason I don't think it's that is because of who they just brought back, who is a huge part, who is a huge part of StarCast 1, and he's going to be at StarCast 2 as well, or he was booked to be at StarCast 2.
Who?
Bruce Pritchard.
Ah, I don't think he's going to end up being at StarCast.
You don't?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. I mean, I might be wrong. I might be wrong, but
I mean, if Bruce and Conrad are as close as they say they are, you think he would do that to Conrad?
I don't think he would, but I don't know. I don't know how he might. It might be like one of those, he was already in, he already had this booked, and he's going to keep it. You know, but I don't know. I don't know. You're right.
Because we know, and at the same time, the Something to Wrestle podcast is huge. It was also on the WWE Network, and they're supposed to be doing a season 2 later on. There's rumors that season 2 was going to be later this year on the network again. If Bruce stiffs Conrad, which, granted, Conrad is a businessman, so he probably understands at the same time. Would Conrad want to do it again on the WWE Network? Or would Conrad just say, well, he went there, why not shift focus to somewhere over here and try to get in with people that are no longer associated with them and either start a podcast with somebody else, because you've got the Tony Schiavone one going for WCW. We've been doing this WWF one for so long. If Bruce has to stop doing that, why not start doing one on another company? Why not go get somebody from TNA that you could do one with and do an Impact one? So, I don't know.
Oh, I mean, in that case, I agree. I mean, like I said, it's out there. It just seems like all that Undertaker stuff happened, then Arn Anderson got released. And it could have been something, you know, it might have been something in the waiting. You know, with the Arn Anderson thing, I don't know. I don't have any background knowledge, but it's just like I said, I don't believe in coincidence, and those two things happen way too close together.
I agree. I'm not big on coincidences either.
They announced Ric Flair, they announced Undertaker. Within 2 weeks after that, Arn Anderson doesn't work for the company anymore. Yeah, so, whatever. Maybe I'm wrong. They did bring in a lot of agents, and they are a lot younger than him. All the agents they brought in are young. They're all in it. They're all in their 30s, early 40s, except, you know, except Jared. But, you know, you're talking about Abyss. I don't think Abyss is 40. Daivari, you look at Helms. Yeah. They're all young people. They've all worked at Indies. They've all worked for Impact, you know. They could tell stories a different way. It might just be that he's been more there too long. But it's one of those things. ROH, if, you know, you got a producer role or something like that, Arn Anderson. You know, there's a lot of smaller companies that can benefit from Arn Anderson. And that was the big thing for me. Like, you think at least they would have sent him down to NXT to help coach. The fact that they actually let him go, I always felt like there could have been something else there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and another, we don't know, maybe there's so, with it being a producer role and stuff like that, and Arn not being a big on-screen guy, there could be all kinds of other things. It could have been one of those things to where also Arn has said, hey, look, I'm getting up there, I'm tired, I want a break. Maybe Arn wanted out too, and this is just the way it happened. And there's like, so many things it could be.
Like I said, what I said was wild speculation. Don't take it any more than a grain of salt, if even that. Our next topic of the day, Bruce Pritchard was rehired. Dude, you be setting me up. You be just don't. It's like we're playing like coach pitch baseball. You just throwing it up there so I can get it real good. Good job. Yeah, so Bruce Pritchard rehired. He takes credit for a lot of characters they built during the glory years. He says there was a team, you know, he definitely says there's a team aspect to it. He doesn't take all the credit, but he does take a lot of credit. So, what do you think about this return?
I'm torn on it. We know he can build a character better than most. So if they want to get more characters on TV, it's great. There's also two other things that we have to kind of consider here. One, where does he fall into the pecking order? Does he report to Vince, or does he report to Kevin Dunn? If he reports to Kevin Dunn, he's going to be there 6 months and then he'll be gone again, because he disagrees with a lot of stuff Kevin Dunn does. But if he reports to Vince, him and Vince have that rapport, that relationship, that family, that brother, that mentality, to where they know it's business, but they also have that outside relationship, that closeness, to where if Bruce doesn't like something, he'll tell Vince, hey, I don't like it. That's why are we doing it this way? So, I don't know. It could be, I don't know. It all depends on how it goes and all that. But if he's going to be reporting to Vince, I like it, because Bruce is a genius when it comes to building characters.
I agree. I can say this about wrestling, and this might not be the biggest. This might not be the biggest endorsement. Can't get worse.
I mean, that's true, but...
Yeah, I'm just saying, you can't get worse. I mean, I'm not saying WWE's not great right now. I mean, let's just be 100% honest. WWE's not great. I'm a very positive person, but I'm positive WWE's not great right now.
No, you're right.
They're having a really bad problem building stars. Roman Reigns probably is their biggest star on the roster, and most of my friends don't know who he is. Like, when I say Roman Reigns, or they didn't know who he was until he got cancer. Now they can say he's the guy that got cancer. They didn't, but yeah. Have they ever seen a match? Has he done any kind of cameo appearances in anything? And no, they don't know who the fuck Roman Reigns is. So, that being said, they have a really big problem building stars right now. And back when Bruce worked for the WWE, they were pretty fucking good at building stars.
Yeah.
So, that's all I'm saying. It's like, they had a falling out, but I think you're about to start seeing some people get elevated. Because Bruce Pritchard understands, you want to build a star, this guy doesn't lose. You can't build stars with 50-50 booking. It doesn't work.
Right.
But I also think I had this thought process today, because wrestling is one of those weird sports. You can literally build a star so big that you can't afford to keep him, right?
That's true.
The smartest thing to do I truly believe this, is get a person in when they're like 20-something. Build them up slowly. Sign them to that second contract, 5-year deal. Start pushing them at the beginning of that 5 years. Get a strong four years out of them. And then that last year before the contract's up, kind of start burying them. So if they leave, if they try to outbid you and they leave, you've already buried them and built a new star. But if they stay with you, you can always heat them back up because you had them as an established star. You can always heat somebody back up. It was just a thought process I had because wrestling is unlike any other thing. You can be like, I mean, actually, it's like acting. You know, you can take a guy and you can put him like, you're going to be Harry Potter. Let's just use the kid as an example. We're going to sign you to a 3-pitcher deal. You do Harry Potter 1, 2, and 3. He becomes a global amazing star. And then Harry Potter 4 comes up. And he's like, I want like $20 million. What? You wouldn't be anything without us. Well, you need me to finish your series. So you've literally built the character so much that now you can't afford him. So, but WWE deals with that all the time. You know, was Roman worth whatever he's making now, 4 or 5 million, whatever he's making? He wasn't worth that as Roman Leaky in NXT. They took him, put him in a Shield suit, basically built up, and basically built him a character to where he's worth as much as that he is now. And that's pretty much what you do with anyone. Let's say it's Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel. You can figure out a character for them, push them to the top, and then they're going to want like a shit ton of money. So it's like pushing a character almost works against your bottom line. But WWE is at such a dearth of stars right now, they're going to have to build someone. I've always said Drew McIntyre's my guy. I don't know who Bruce Pritchard is going to go with. I don't know who's going to be the next guy. Maybe it's Seth Rollins. Whoever it is, the key is they should rarely lose, whoever it is.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to put you on the spot, and I want an answer. Outside of your mega stars, so take Seth Rollins, and I'm going to put Drew McIntyre in that same category. Take them out. One person from NXT, one person from the main roster that you want to see Bruce work with, that Bruce helps gets over as far as character, in-ring, all that.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say the biggest star potential in NXT to me is Matt Riddle. But I don't think he needs any help. I think his character is his character. So if you're talking about who I want him to work with and make a star, Donovan Dijakovic.
100% spot on agree. That was going to be mine.
He's 7 foot. He has a look. He has a physique. But he's missing something. I don't know what it is. But he's missing something. He looks like $1 million. It's like when he works, there's something missing. And I think Bruce Pritchard could give him whatever that is that he's missing.
I agree. What about the main roster?
Main roster, there's so many people. Rusev, Big E. I mean, there's so many people that I feel like you're being misused on the roster right now. It's just like, I think you could give either one of them he could catch fire with. I'm just kind of trying to think of the roster right now. I think let him rebuild Braun. Because they were doing good with Braun and they just stopped short.
Well, my idea was, I'm going to go with the rebuild.
Yeah, who?
Bray Wyatt.
Yes, Bray Wyatt with his new injury. I completely agree. And I didn't think about him because, you know, I haven't seen him in so long. I was actually thinking about people I was seeing. But, yeah, Bray Wyatt would definitely help. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but I think Bruce Pritchard and his character-building skills and Bray Wyatt's talent put together, they can make something out of. But Donovan Dijakovic from NXT. And like I said, I'm going to stick with Big E as my pick. but I like your pick of Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
You're just like, I think Big E was like one of those people. He's charismatic. He's physically, he looks like an amazing wrestler. It's, and, you know, he has that charisma where, you know, the dancing, he can work a mic. I just think, you know, they got to do something with him. Yeah. Biggest thing with WWE, I think the smartest thing to do, if you're going to push someone, let's say you want your next Roman Reigns, right? Whoever it's going to be, push him as a heel. Have him never lose as a heel. Build him as a heel star. Then give him something to turn face on.
That's how your stars become megastars.
Yes.
The Rock, and Stone Cold.
People don't like people being forced down your throat. So when you're forcing them down their throat and they're getting booed, have them work heel.
Yep.
And then when they start, you hear the fans start turning. They've been healed so long that they start cheering their heel tactics. Then turn them face. So then you have the people that hated them and the people that were loving them, all loving them. It's just the smartest way to do it. They built Stone Cold as a heel. They built Rock as a heel. It's just Triple H got built as a heel. I mean, good Lord. You know, Taker was a heel.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, Taker got built as a heel. Shawn Michaels got built as a heel. Your great workers build them as a heel and then turn them face. It just makes sense.
That's honorable mention for Bruce Pritchard to work with from NXT. I just thought about this while I was sitting here. I don't know what they could do, but Tainara Conti.
Yeah,
I think she could be somebody, a focal point of a women's division in the future.
Crazy? Are you calling me crazy? And if if you give me a girl from the main roster, I would say Sonya Deville.
Yes.
Yeah, because I really dig her talent. I just, like I said, I just think she came wrong at the wrong time. All right, so they announced the Dusty Classic is back in NXT. It looks like it's going to be 8 teams. The finals to be had at NXT New York, which your boy Floyd's going to be at. How excited are you about the Dusty Classic coming back, sir?
I'm torn on it because they use this as a way to throw two random guys together and make tag teams. And a lot of the times it's going to be guys that aren't going to work tag team once this thing is over. I don't like that about it. If you're going to make it a tag team tournament, make it a tag team tournament. So with the there's been four teams announced, and apparently at the tapings, the next set of four were announced. But three of these four in the first set are tag teams, so I like that. We've got the Undisputed Era with O'Reilly and Fish. We've got the Street Profits. We've got the Forgotten Sons. I'm not sure which two it is. And then Eichner and Barthel.
Barthel
is the other one. I don't know anything about him. So I don't know if they're an actual tag team or what. But
Eichner and Barthel forgot what they're called, but they've been working UK and NXT as a tag team for a few months now.
Okay.
So they are actual tag team. Okay. I think he called them like the allied, like the foreign exchange or something like that. I don't remember what name Mauro gave them. But yeah, they are. And if you're not familiar with Barthel, he was in Ring Comp. When he was in the Indies with Walter and Timothy Thatcher. They were all about the wrestling. So, yeah, I'm very excited about the Dusty Classic. I love tag team tournaments. I hate the way they do it. I hate that it's taped. I honestly think the Dusty Classic should be a network special.
Kind of like King of the Ring, but for tag teams?
Yeah, and like a one-night network special. And, you know, the last two teams end up, you know, they make it to NXT TakeOver. I'm like, I still might get spoiled, but it's not a part of their regular NXT show. So you get more spoiled on a part of regular NXT show. I just think a Dusty Classic should be a yearly network special.
I like it. And you could even bring in tag teams that aren't typically signed like they do for the cruiserweight and stuff like that.
Yep. And you could make it 8-man, you can make it 16, whatever. Network special. Let's get it on.
Do a two day thing like they do for the UK tournament with eight teams and it's spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what should happen. But hey, they're not doing it that way. They do it the other way, unfortunately. Because of that, you can get spoiled. I've heard some other teams that are going to be in it. Like I said, I'm not happy all the way about it. And for people that have seen it taped, they said it sucked. And I hope it's wrong. Hopefully they edit it correctly so that it's actually entertaining. But yeah, the people that have been live Nintendo said it wasn't very good.
That does not make me happy.
That does not make me happy because you know how much we love tag team wrestling.
Right.
And it's like, if you want to be a great tag team, ask for your release.
Apparently.
You know? It's just because, you know, WWE's trying. So, you know what? You know me. I'm a positive person. So, I can't... To me, if you start changing something in 1 week, I'm not going to bitch after the first week that it hasn't changed enough. I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to give it a few weeks. Let's see if it changes, you know, let's see what you're trying to do. So on 205 Live, they announced, what they do best, what 205 loves best. They are doing an 8-man tournament and the winner gets the title shot at Buddy Murphy at WrestleMania. They announced the first two matches, right?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay, hold on a second.
Let me see here.
We're actually looking it up as we're doing it right now. So, the first two matches would feature Tony Nese versus Kalisto and the Ryan Kidron target taking on Drew Gulak. And TJP's last match with the WWE, he lost to Humberto Carrillo. But, yeah, what do you think? I made it clear what I think. This is what they do best. What do you think?
This is what they do best, but of the four people you just mentioned, only one of them do I want to see in a tournament to have any meaning, and that's Drew Gulak.
I'll tell you exactly what I want, and I've heard they are shooting. They're shooting the guy's name, Back to the Future guy, from New Japan.
Kushida?
Yeah, they're shooting him straight to the main roster. There's rumors he's going to be one of the last four in this, and he could win it to fight Buddy Murphy. Oh, that's cool. I want it to be Rey Mysterio. He already works SmackDown, you know. It wouldn't be going outside of his purview. I think the 205 Live division needs to pop. I think Rey Mysterio being one of the last four, winning the tournament. Then you have Rey Mysterio versus Buddy Murphy for the Cruiserweight title at WrestleMania on the main show.
That would be good. That would be good.
I think it needs a pop. I think it needs a name. I think Johnny Gargano would have been a great name for the 205 Live division. I know he's going to the main roster. That's great. But I think he would have been a great name for 205 Live. Ricochet. I think it could have been a middle ground. Ricochet could have been one of the mysterious people in this contest. And you had Ricochet versus Buddy Murphy in a big spot at WrestleMania. And you could use it either to put, you know, solidify Buddy Murphy's reign, where he's beating everybody, or you can put it on Ricochet or Rey Mysterio and give the Cruiserweight division a pop. But it does need a pop. It needs more eyes. And right now, the Cruiserweight division has a lot of talented wrestlers. It doesn't have any stars. In my mind, I thought the Cruiserweight tournament finals was going to be Mustafa Ali versus Buddy Murphy at WrestleMania. I had that in my head. I had that written. I was like, Mustafa Ali's finally going to get his win at WrestleMania. And that's how I had it in my head. And there wasn't going to be anything different. And they called Mustafa Ali up. They need star power. And they need crossover star power. They need someone that's been on the main roster that people want to see in the cruiserweight division. I think Rey Mysterio would be the perfect person. He doesn't even have to stop working SmackDown.
I don't disagree at all.
It's the same night. He doesn't even have to quit working SmackDown. He can just work both. He can even build it like, I want to give back to the division that built me up. I started in the WCW Cruiserweight division, and that is what, you know, bring me up. And I just think more eyes need to be brought on the people that are there. So hopefully me being on the show help bring more eyes. He could build it as that. And then Buddy Murphy's like, we don't need you, that kind of thing. I'm already the juggernaut. No one can beat me. And it would just be a great story to tell. But we'll see what they do. Like I said, Rey Mysterio is too big for 205 Live. I absolutely agree with that. But I think having him on there, even in just a short 3 to 6 month program, could really help the Cruiserweight division.
No, I agree. Like I said, they've announced those first two matches that you mentioned.
Do either of them excite you as a potential WrestleMania match with Buddy Murphy?
Not necessarily excites, but I know Drew Gulak would be a good match.
It would be a good match. You know, but he's a lot more mat-based. And I think to get that crowd into it, you need a high flyer to go with Buddy Murphy.
Somebody else that I'm looking at the roster, and my favorite guy that he's listed on the roster for 205 Live, I don't get to watch it week in and week out. I imagine he's more NXT UK, but people that listen to this show, I want to see more Mark Andrews.
Okay.
Mark Andrews is exciting as hell to me. He's somebody that could be and excite the crowd with Buddy. Maybe not a build up, but once they got in the ring, Mark Andrews and Buddy Murphy could put on a phenomenal match.
Okay, definitely. I agree. I definitely agree with that. I agree they could do a lot. I just want something that gets the division the energy and the attention it deserves. It's probably, other than NXT, probably the best work division in the company. You know, as far as in-ring work every week, it's probably the best. They go out there and they put together for like half a crowd because half the damn people are gone. So that's it for WWE news. There's only one thing else I wanted to bring up before we wrap up the show. GOD, they won. Guerrillas of Destiny became the five-time IWGP Heavyweight Champions, Tag Team Champions. And on the same show, the Briscoes beat Lifeblood to retain their titles. And they are, I think, the 11-time, or is it 10-time? 10-time ROH Champions. So the Briscoes cutting a promo at the end of the show. They challenged Guerrillas of Destiny. Title versus title. He said, and I'll see you in the garden, bitch. So, right now, it is the Guerrillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tagaloa, versus the ROH Tag Team Champions, the greatest tag team champions in ROH history, the Briscoes, at Madison Square Garden. Winner take all. Like, I have a ticket this show, and this is my most anticipated match. I mean, I think it's the only match that's been signed, but it'll be really hard to top this match in my eyes, because I love tag team wrestling, and I love these two tag teams, and they both cuss a lot. So it's going to be a war. Now, if they change it to a ladder war match, oh, that ain't getting even better. But I think they could just tell a good tag team story. What do you think?
I think this match is going to be hard to beat. For that show, and maybe the WWE main roster as well, especially with the tag team division, that is. It's going to be hard-hitting, all-out action. Like you said, the language, it's going to be a fight. It's not going to be a match. It's going to be a fight. Yeah, and it's going to be really good to see.
Yeah, they're going to have to turn down the ring mat on this one. Yeah, this is not going to be suitable for all ages. If you don't like your kids to hear cussing, probably don't want to turn on this match.
Yeah, because these two teams are going to let everybody know they don't like each other and what they're going to do.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a great match, and I don't give a damn who wins. And those are the best matches. I love both of these teams so much. They both mean so much to each other's company. I don't know who wins. It would be great. You know what would be awesome? They're in the match. They're in anything. And this is when the Bucks and the Elite decide to take their revenge. And they go in and give them a good old super kick party. That'd be great. No, but no. I honestly want there to be a winner of this match. Now, if the Bucks come in after that match and give people a super kick party, that would be a nice pop. But I'm pretty sure the Elite's not going to be on this show. So I think they're going to have to do the best they can with the talent they have. And this was a great fucking start.
Yeah, this is a match you put together to get people excited again.
Yeah, and I'm super excited. I'm like, it made me more confirmed happy that I got my ticket. I can't wait. I can't wait for this show. Yeah, so did you have anything else, Ryan?
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, we hit all the news. We hit all the news this week. We hit everything. Looking forward. We're on the countdown to the road to WrestleMania. We got one more stop before then in the WWE. It's called the Fast Lane. Mm-hmm. And then we got one more start in ROH. They have their anniversary show before their big Madison Square Garden show. And I believe we have the New Japan Cup before we get as far as New Japan before we get to the WrestleMania weekend. So, got a lot of wrestling coming up. We'll cover it as well as we can. It'll be fun. Hopefully, we'll have a new ROH champion because Jay Lethal bores me. I watched him against TK Orion. I'm so bored in that match. I watched it, but I was so bored. I don't know what it is. He used to excite me. I think I liked him better as a heel, which I hate saying, but I think I just like Jay Lethal better as a heel when nobody could beat him. So he's kind of boring as a face. That being said, for Ryan, the great Aaron, I am your Floyd and Savior, Floyd Johnson. We again thank you for listening. We will be back next week. It'll drop Sunday before noon, as always. So I remind you, I do want to send a RIP out to, he was a friend of Ryan's. He was a radio personality here that I had heard many times. I actually met him in a steak place. I think it was in Chickasha. And I met him and Jerry Ramsey at the same time. But he was always entertaining on the radio. He unfortunately passed away this week at the young age of 29. His name was Jeff Roughface. So RIP to Jeff Roughface. Our prayers are with you and your family. Did you have anything you wanted to say, Ryan? I know I threw that at you.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly.
I wasn't expecting that. Jeff, he's one of those guys that I started talking to him because he worked for the franchise. Because that was the sports. There was a period at work to where I was able to listen to stuff and do that, and I listened to the sport franchise every day. That's how I got through my day. And he was on the morning show. He was a producer, and he wasn't always an on-air talent, but he would fill in as producer. He was a big part of getting their YouTube feeds and stuff like that up. Well, one night we were just talking on Twitter and stuff like that, and the Spurs Thunder were about to start a playoff series. Well, he said something like, "Oh, the Thunder are going to win this series with ease. And I said, "If the Spurs don't win in five, I'll be shocked." He said, "You want to make a bet?" I said, "Sure. What do you want to bet?" He said, How about a six pack? Okay. So we put a six pack on the line. Needless to say, I lost the bet. The Thunder won in five, I think it was, five or six. So I went to take him the beer. I had my kid with me, my boy. And he said, hey, y'all come on back. I didn't know this was going to happen. He gave us a tour of the studio. We sit in the producer's booth with him for an hour, hour and a half at least, and watched him record the show with Jerry Ramsey and, at the time, Anthony Fogle doing their stuff. And since that day, I don't think there was a 2 or 3 day period where I wouldn't get a random message from Jeff just saying, hey, how's it going? What sports you been watching here lately? You got anything you want to talk about? Because he would talk to me about life, because there was a period where we bought my son a dog before we got the one now, and it didn't work out, and we had to take it back, and I had posted how my son was heartbroken. And he sent me a message on the side and said, hey, look, it sucks, it happened, you'll find the right one, and it'll work out. Jeff was the heartwarming, fun guy that no matter what you were going through, he would try to bring you up and pick you up and make light of a situation to make it better. And he would always talk to you about whatever it was you needed to talk to about. And in the end, it would fall back around to sports. So, Jeff, I don't do this often, but for you, buddy, Boomer.
There is not a better way for us to end than that. Just to let you know, life, it's all a work. Don't forget to kick out at 2. We'll see you next time.